For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy, as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with my dear friend, Arlita Winston. Some of you young mothers that are listening have probably remembered the story that Arlita told us some time ago about her little boy, Brad, who tore up a book. And Arlita's the one who put that little boy on a high stool in the kitchen for almost an hour so that he could meditate on his sins. How old was he?
Two.
2 years old. Anyway, that's the Arlita, just in case you'd forgotten her name. And yesterday, Arlita, you were telling us a story of a lesson that you learned from some swallows in France.
Yes, I'll pick up there, where those swallows were swooping in and out of those cloisters, feeding their babies. And they just simply did not rest. They were swooping and swirling and feeding hundreds and hundreds of swallows. And it reminded me of the scripture in Psalm where it talked about even the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she can lay her young, even on the altars of God. And here we were in these cloisters where Fenelon had prayed and prayed and prayed, and it had been an altar for him as he laid his spiritual children before God day in and day out. And I had written in the margin of my Bible, Lord, here are my children, here are my grandchildren. I place them on your altar, the only safe place. Now, that evening, we were having dinner, and we could see down into the valley, and we overlooked the cloisters. And suddenly, I became aware of the swallows again, hundreds of them. Only now, they weren't by their nests at all. They had left their nest after a long day's work of feeding and caring. And now they had joined one another in a great swooping dance in the skies. We were hundreds of feet up above the cloisters, looking down from the cliff. They weren't traveling anywhere. They were just soaring and swooping and looping and just giving praise to their Creator. And for several hours they did this, high above the valley, leaving their babies all alone down in their nests. And I said to Joe, that is what it's all about. And he said, what? And I said, discipling, spiritual mothering. You spend your days giving and giving and giving and loving and feeding and teaching and loving and nurturing and loving and forgiving and then doing it all over again. But there is a time each day you have to leave those babes and you soar into the heights and you walk with your Lord Creator. And that walk becomes a dance where you open your arms, relinquishing your own ideas and your rights, and you accept in the next step of the dance the plan that He has for you. And then raising your arms together is an incredible thanksgiving and joy and exaltation that comes simply because you have been quiet before Him. And I think this is what abiding is all about. Betty, you asked me, what do I think about abiding? What does that word mean? And I think it's that quiet rest and that awareness of knowing that you are with your Creator, that He is yours and you are His. And you commune with Him and you talk to Him, not in fancy language, but in just ordinary language that a mother has in talking about her children, about her grandchildren. As I sat there watching those birds, I thought again of that verse, oh, for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross and despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But because of the joy that He knew He was going to share with His children, He was willing to relinquish everything and go to the cross. He was willing to accept that greater plan of redeeming, of reconciling us to Him.
Don't you love that verse that says that if you obey my commands, it's in the same chapter we've been talking about, John 15, verse 10 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Sometimes people really hate the word discipline, thinking of it always as punishment from a cruel father, perhaps, or an insensitive father. And that's so far from the truth of the gospel. If we remain in his love, if we do what he says, then we are going to participate in the same kind of joy that Jesus knows without any interruption in his fellowship with his Father. Now, as I recall, there was a period in your life when you weren't exactly remaining in the vine.
That's
you were
right.
not abiding, and I don't think that was the happiest time in your life, was it?
No, that was a period of 4 years after Joe and I had returned as missionaries. We had known that love of the Lord for us very deeply. We had given that love to other people. But it was a period of time where I had deep questions and I rebelled deep inside to God and became very alienated from him.
Sometimes when people listen to people like you and me on the radio, they think, well, what does she know about sin or suffering? She's so perfect, and she tries to make us think that everything's fine in her life. I know enough about your life to know that not everything has been perfect by any means. And your mother had told me some of the sorrows that she had gone through because of you. And I think back to my parents when I was writing my book, The Shaping of a Christian Family. I became very deeply aware of the fact that there were many ways, I think, in which I gave my parents agonies and broke their hearts. We're just ordinary folks, aren't we? I mean, we're people who do know what it is not to abide in the vine, and that's why we are in a position to say, believe this. Believe that God means exactly what he says. Stay put. Stay where he wants you to be.
I think of that metaphor again of the vine that isn't permitted to trail all over, but has to stay put in that rocky hillside with his arms stretched out. But by staying put, something happens inside. I think of that vine standing stripped and desolate of all of its fruit, even in the wintertime, while it's all alone. All of the vines have been cut back, and they've been thrown into a pile, and they've been burned. And there the vine just has to stand through the winter all alone by itself. And it's not bitter for the torment that he went through in the pruning process. He's not barren because of the fruit it gave up. But he realizes in some sense that next year there will be more fruit and there will be more vines. And I know that that 4-year period was a very dark winter of my soul, where I was stripped of everything and stood bare in the winter cold and the winter blasts as God dealt with my heart. But deep inside, that life of Jesus Christ was coursing in me. And there came a time when God met me right where I was at. And he forgave me, and he showed me that what I was giving up was nothing compared to what he was prepared to give me. His love for me was so intense. I had just no other response but to want to love him back, want to give him back everything that I had.
This week you've been talking about some deep suffering that your parents went through as missionaries. Your mother lost her sister-in-law, had to take care of her 4 children, then fleeing through the jungles in Sumatra, going back to the States, then going to Shanghai, being under house arrest,
again
hearing the bombs
evacuating.
Dropping, again being evacuated, and then ever since then the Lord has been reminding you of the great lesson of death and resurrection that your mother pointed out to you, that there is no true resurrection without true death. Can you tell us just a little bit, make it as simple as you can for our listeners, as to what does this death mean in ordinary life, in to you and me, to all God's children?
I think it's a constant thing that happens all day long
Well, Paul said, I die daily, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be surprised.
It's 1,000 little deaths all during the day. And I like Brother Lawrence's practicing the presence of God. That helps me to focus my thinking better than just about anything else, to actually practice the very presence of God with me so that I can talk to him about what's going on. And where I don't have to be sanctimonious, I just talk to him straight the way I see it. And he talks back to me in his word. And he talks back to me to let me know the way I should go. And a new thing that I am learning and just beginning to learn is a quietness of saying, all right, I don't have to fix everything. I can be quiet and let you, Lord, do what you want to do, both in me and that other person that I'm desperately wanting to either straighten out or to help. And God says, just wait, let me do it, abide in me, and the fruit is going to be inevitable, Arlita. If you are in communion with me, if you're obeying me, if you're letting go of your own way of doing things and saying, okay, God, what is your way? That new quietness is setting me free with a new joy and expectancy of what God's going to do in a case where in the past I have done it myself.
Well, thank you. Arlita Winston has been my guest today. She's been telling us some of the spiritual lessons of her life. And you mentioned Brother Lawrence. He was a monk, wasn't mm-hmm. he, who yeah. learned to practice the presence of God in the midst of washing pots and pans.
That's right.
In the monastery kitchen. So there isn't any place where God has put any of us where it would not be possible to learn mm-hmm. this lesson of abiding in the vine, practicing the presence of God, relinquishment, acceptance.
In fact, those are the places that he generally shows us more quickly in the ordinary things of life.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.